Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So since we're talking about E.T. being human or humanoid, and not just because it's in the Star Trek universe or in the Star Wars universe or anything like that, or the Stargate universe for that matter, it is obviously easy for them because it's easier on the special effects and makeup budgets.
Sure.
But as a practical matter, Walter, you feel that it's quite possible E.T. will look like us.
Oh, sure. Some E.T.s, yeah, particularly. Because think about it. You say, well, what? Well, Buzz, like, what proof do you have of that or evidence of that? Well, us. We're on an Earth planet, what others would call an Earth-like planet. We exist, so therefore, it must be recognized that it's possible that we exist on other worlds as well. So there's evidence, you know, piece of evidence number one. Again, until we have traveled to all the Earth-like planets and found not a single human being originated and developed elsewhere than Earth, anywhere else, only then can the conclusion be drawn. I do think that some of us, I like this idea. I've heard this. It's not original with me, but I kind of like this hypothesis, this idea that the Human Genome Project, part of that, some people think, is they're looking for that extraterrestrial human DNA. You know, what if, and this is a what if, but what if, you know, and when I say some of us, I mean billions of us. I think billions of people on this planet. It's possible that a human civilization in the remote past came here and, as you say, seeded, you know, the planet, maybe interbred with the humans that were here. And there's probably a whole bunch of us all over this planet who have these genetics in us. And some people think that the Human Genome Project, part of the agenda of that is to find that, is to identify that. And I kind of think that's a very intriguing idea, you know.
Well, there have been actual researchers that have done exactly that. I've looked into it as much as you can on the internet, which is actually quite a bit. And mm-hmm. not just looking at, you know, claims in the various believer camps, but the actual science mm-hmm. behind it and going as far as they can with the footnotes and following it and so on. And there are a few anomalies. They don't consider them to be genetic manipulation,
right?
You know, they consider them to be mutations, you know, but exactly how these mutations came to happen mm-hmm. in the time span, which if it were simply evolution would be like basically overnight, evolving a cerebral cortex is like evolving a supercomputer overnight in mm-hmm. the time span that it happened. But they don't say it's alien intervention. But the thing is, if we go with the whole they seeded life here and have been sort of culturing it along over time, then to us, it would all seem perfectly natural,
yeah.
right? You wouldn't see it as a genetic manipulation. You just see it as part of our natural evolution. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we go out there, if we get out that far and can find other worlds, that there will be all kinds of worlds where that's been done by civilizations more advanced
sure.
than we are, who have used the same techniques, and therefore we would expect them to evolve pretty much identical to us or very, very similar,
yeah.
right? Especially if they go around seeding it. I was just watching this video not too long ago. We're getting to the point now where we can almost do that. This breakaway listen initiative, you know, have you followed this, Walter? This
no.
is the one that received the signal from Proxima Centauri. Now they're
is
still looking
a wild
into it.
Signal?
No, this is after. This is recently. They've
okay.
identified a signal. This is our closest star system,
mm.
and somebody leaked it out. Now they're still trying to verify it, but they've said it's definitely, cool. definitely technological, and it appears to be coming from our nearest star system. So now they want to send these little tiny mini robot probes there. on solar sails powered by lasers. And mm-hmm. when you take into account time dilation, it would only take them 20 years to get there. And if you were on one of those, time would be all very much slowed down.
Or they would use the concept of the generational ships, where the generation that departs, right. some of them may not live long enough. But that's when you're getting into, obviously, beyond the 20-year journey. But they could still use a generational ship. In other words, you have the crew start the journey with a younger crew, and over the course of the 20 years, that younger crew is being trained, further educated, studying this, that, and the other. And then they're the crew that's the ground, landing team.
Absolutely. I mean, we're talking about, we see these big, huge motherships. Okay. So, I mean, they don't need to necessarily make the trip from their star system. These things can right. just float around space. And if they're right. advanced enough to do that, they've probably already figured out aging and anti-aging. And
true.
And in one of these other videos I was watching, when you take time dilation into account, they could seed life on a planet like Earth, take off, and then the whole relativistic speed thing would mean that they could fly off to another star system, do the same thing, and come back well within their lifetime. Meanwhile, our whole civilization will have evolved to where it is now.
You're right. I was not thinking of the relativity issue. You're right. It could just be one crew doing this.
So you could have several motherships doing this, but the mm-hmm. bizarre thing about it is once you've started the process, then you go and you come back and all of a sudden all of this is here. Like within, mm-hmm. to them it's only maybe 10 or 15 years. To us, it's ages, right?
Oh, I like that. I like that. Yeah. So what we're saying basically is that this ancient advanced human civilization that we think came here from another world long ago, and maybe they're going to come back. Actually, maybe they originated here, say, when there was one of these now lost advanced civilizations. They've gone out into space. For them, it's only been 10 or 20 years by the time they get back. But for us, they're, essentially we are their descendants. So it's us who have done this, gone out there, and it's us coming back, so to speak.
Well,
I kind of like that idea.
Or maybe they weren't from here to begin with, but either way, that's where we'd be the breakaway civilization, right?
Yeah. And that's where I was getting at when I said that, a lot of us have the DNA of what I call, humans from other worlds.
Well, and, yeah, exactly. I mean, really, there is a... Evolution can't really be disputed, right? There's no question we seem to have evolved here. But let's suppose, that how it all got started, we don't know about the biogenesis necessarily. And there are some anomalies. So that would kind of explain, if they came here and started this process and then once in a while came back to check it out, they might have had bases and smaller places that over time would deteriorate to the point where we couldn't detect them. It wouldn't need to be this whole giant civilization, but it could explain a few weird anomalies and legends, and then they just left, mm-hmm. cleaned everything up, went off to the next place, and here we are,
Sure. Yeah.
So the thing, of course, we're all skipping here is, what about warp drive? What about? Mm-hmm. Since we're already looking at that in terms of our own science, if we assume a civilization that's hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us, instead of taking 25 years to get to us, it takes 25 minutes.
Yes. No, that's a very good point, Gene. And if we're thinking of this, if we've thought of it creatively in our myths, legends, and our entertainment, then of course, as we have, we've advanced to thinking of it actually, in the material, real technological sense. Certainly, they went through the same process, whoever they are, and if they're ahead of us, they could have gone to that next step, absolutely, and developed the actual warp drive technology, sure. And that's ultimately, what you really got to have if you're going to, journey the cosmos because of the vast distances.
Obviously, you can't set up a network of stargates, or could you? I've been watching we have, of course, the Stargate SG-1 TV series based on the movie with different mm-hmm. production crew. I've been watching on Amazon, it's a 10-year series. I'm into the sixth year, okay? And it still, I think, holds up very well. Plus, they get lots of characters who used to be on Star Trek who come on the show. Interesting. More to come. Cool. With Walter, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Regardless, and I think Randall agrees with me here, I don't think either of us are enamored with time travel. Not that it isn't possible. It's just that there are so many ifs, ands, and buts that if it were possible, it would have to be under very severe controls. Otherwise, you'd have havoc. And I think that's one of the things where we disagree with Dr. Michael Masters. Forgetting all the other thousands of theories about UFOs, such as a collective unconscious or co-creation or interdimensional or anything else, whatever it is something that happens now, an event that's happening now, not someone generating it from the future.
You know, you and I are definitely on the same page there, Gene. I personally, just like afterlives, I don't think that time travel is possible in the way that people normally think of it. Just kind of like, Walter, how you were talking about breakaway civilizations and how you've kind of evolved to really make it a lot more sensible as an option. Because when you look at it from that perspective, it could be actually really, really true. I was just listening to our last interview with you, and it was a really good one, by the way. You brought up the submarine analogy, you know, the idea that, well, you know, I said, well, how could they possibly build one of these motherships, you know, on Earth without anybody knowing about it? You'd need this giant civilization. And you said, well, you know, compartmentalization, you could build it like a submarine. And you know, you get thinking about all of this, and I mean, there's still a lot of problems with that.
Sure.
It's not like it couldn't be done the way that you were just describing it earlier in the show. You know, especially if there is some collusion going on with these aliens, which may be us, you know, from another world who came here. But still, no matter how you look at it, I mean, it would be fascinating. I mean, I don't know that that is the case, that we're really interacting with off-worlders.
Right.
But it would be cool if we were.
Yeah. You know, when I was in my national security career, I was told. Now, when I say told, I wasn't instructed to go to the vault and sit down and a file put in front of me. That's not how you learn some things, by the way. Very real things.
Just let me interject for a second here, because I want to go exactly where you're going now. I was listening to one of your podcasts, and you called it cleared for weird. Now, for listeners,
that's what we call it.
So, for our listeners, you were part of the U.S. Air Force Office of Special Investigations, also known as FOSI or just OSI. So tell us about when you were your experience with that.
Here's the thing. What I was getting to was, you can learn a lot of truths, about a lot of real things, not being briefed with a file in a vault. It can be presented to you in a casual way. I certainly had got my share of, you know, from a superior officer and in casual outside the office conversations about things that allegedly are there. And what I was getting to is, just because I was told that, I can't prove that. You know, I can't come on here and say, hey, it's absolutely true because this guy told me it was true. How much trouble have other people in our community gotten into, you know, with doing that kind of nonsense, you know, saying, oh, it's true because somebody else told me. Well, that's nothing but hearsay. Now, my personal opinion of it, that's within a context of my personal experiences with putting together other things I know, my experience with the individual telling me and their character and their credibility. All those factors go into whether I accept it or not. But as far as trying to convince others, several years back, I had my little epiphany where I quit trying to convince others, and I've increasingly gone down that road. I don't try to convince. For instance, I happen to think something of us exists after the body dies. Now, personally, I think that's the case. And that gets into, by the way, it's going to bring us back to the time travel question, because it brings us back to my personal position on what I think about time travel. To go back to what you were saying, I was cleared for weird. Now, remember, I had a top secret clearance from day one of my government career. When I started with the FBI, I walked in the doors and I had a top secret clearance, because they clear you for that. That's part of your background. They adjudicate that. So you start with a TS clearance. Okay. I was an evidence technician for a short period of time before they could get me into a class for counterintelligence. Once you go into counterintelligence, they start adding different levels. We call them tickets. Okay. They're letters like I have X number of tickets, which I really shouldn't say in a public forum, and there are certain letters which anybody in that world, I could say, oh yeah, I'm TSSCI, you know, A, B, C, D, or whatever. Okay. And they would understand what those are and what levels and stuff. It's really interesting. What I realized as I was first going into this world and getting briefed, and what I actually learned appeared to be very accurate, my suspicions, is that they have a way of, by the time I got to the Air Force, I had already had TS plus some tickets, and they just added more tickets when I became an OSI agent and got into the Air Force. But they have a way of briefing you on your levels where you realize, oh, they've briefed me on the basics of some technological realities because I'm going to be working up to that level. And so that way I can be exposed to the specifics of those various technologies. And the beauty is when you look back, you see, and this is my opinion now, opinion alert. I'm raising the opinion flag. This is my opinion based on professional experience and stuff. I personally think that the possibility or whatever knowledge they have of a civilization out there in space or coming to this planet that you might encounter, that possibility is covered in your briefing level.
Was it just implied or was it actually stated?
It's not stated at all. But what it is if I was able to tell you, you're sitting there getting a briefing. And now remember, again, this is an opinion. This is hypothetical. You know, the guy next to you may not read it that way, but you could look at it and go, oh, we're talking about certain things, you know, at this level that literally at this, you know, level, you know, that could be in space or whatever, that's Air Force technology. But actually, the way they're briefing this, that could be something from somewhere else. And they're just not specifying it yet because they don't know yet if you're going to have the need to know and be exposed to that or not.
Okay.
But just in case you are, you've kind of already been briefed on it. Here's a hypothetical. Let's say you are being briefed on the captured ET flying saucer. They would say, okay, you know, this is classified up to the such and such level. And if you recall in your briefing, this is what that was referring to, or this covers what that was referring to. You follow me? So I thought that was interesting. But still, even with all this, there's no way I can tell you for sure that what I was told about there were multiple ET civilizations that, you know, maintain just outside of a visual orbit from here, from the ground. I can't prove that. I was told that, but I can't prove that. I wasn't shown any documentation. For all I know, that's just BS ink for the water. In other words, tell this guy something to see if we can trust him. If what we specifically told him shows up out there where it shouldn't, then we can say, it looks like it came from him, and so now we can't trust him. A lot of this, not to go off on that tangent, but I think that's what the Lazar experienced.
More to come with Walter, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A new order from the Centers for Disease Control will require those traveling on nearly all forms of public transportation to wear a face mask. as officials try to slow down the spread of the coronavirus. The order, which goes into effect Monday night, calls on all travelers on public conveyances, including airplanes, buses, trains, ferries, taxis, and rideshares, to mask up. The order will also extend to airports, train, and bus stations. The order comes as California reaches another grim milestone. According to new data, California has recorded more than 40,000 deaths from COVID-19. Only New York has recorded more, topping 43,000 deaths in that state. New data from Johns Hopkins University shows that the U.S. had recorded more than 26 million coronavirus infections since the beginning of the pandemic. About 439,000 Americans have died of COVID-19. This is USA Radio News. A pair of Ohio lawmakers are proposing a day to honor former President Trump in their state. Mike Fortier has that story.
Two state lawmakers proposing a bill to name June 14th, Trump's birthday, as President Donald J. Trump Day in Ohio. State Reps John Cross and Reggie Stoltzfus emailing colleagues Friday looking for co-sponsors of the bill. They say the bill will celebrate one of the greatest presidents in American history, and it will show the more than 3 million Ohioans that voted for Trump that the legislature recognizes his accomplishments. As you can imagine, not everyone is on board with this. Democratic State Rep Jeff Crossman tells the Columbus Dispatch he thinks it's disrespectful because June 14th is already Flag Day, a federal holiday. For USA Radio News, I'm Mike Fortier.
And the Pentagon has paused a plan to vaccinate armed forces and detainees at Guantanamo Bay. The plan to offer the vaccinations at the base on a voluntary basis was authorized earlier this week, but the Pentagon announced that it was being put on hold while it reviews what it called force protection protocols. There are about 40 prisoners left at the facility on the island of Cuba. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, there are some questions from our audience in Question Bank that we'll get to, including one related to a certain guy named Rick Doty. But right now, you brought up at the end of our previous segment the name Lazar. Tell me more.
Well, I'm just using him as an example. I personally think whatever nugget of truth in his story there might be, go on record, I don't buy Bob Lazar. I just don't. It could be that if he was exposed to something he thought was extraterrestrial, it could have been this ink for the water, this, you know, hey, let's see how someone reacts to seeing, you know, what they think is an extraterrestrial. I'm more prone to think that if he really did see anything, like when he passed by the window and allegedly saw an alien. Okay, I think if he had that experience, I think that was just a total artificial scenario that was set up for not just him, but for multiple people to just walk by and be able to see as, you know, some sort of study that had nothing to do with what he and those who saw it, you know, they would just be passersby and they would test their reactions. Or it could even have been one of those things where, okay, now you're working at this ultra secret or this location that does ultra secret stuff. We got to know if we trust you. And it would be really easy to do this, guys. You can have a little room no bigger than a double closet where you could set it up to make it look like the ET, you know, lab or something. And you could just have a fake thing in there. And as these people you're trying to determine, you know, you can trust, walk by and see it, if they end up talking about it in the public, then you know, oh, okay, we can't trust that guy. The whole thing he saw was BS, but he's blabbing about something he saw here, and he specifically was not supposed to do that. So some of this stuff could be that, could just be a test of, you know, whether they can trust you. And that's just, that's what I think, based on my experience in that world.
So basically, this is just music to my ears. I mean, I've been saying pretty much the same thing all along as well. I mean, you hear the story. Well, he walked by this, you know, this garage doorway, and he could look, see into the hangar, and there were these craft. Well, you don't know what those are, really,
right, exactly.
You know. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that there aren't any either.
Right, so, exactly. So, I agree with that, too.
so you could be doing everything you're saying. Plus, there could still be the real thing going on.
Sure.
And if any of it got out, nobody would be able to tell which was which.
Bingo.
Right.
You know, and because of that, what you do is you muddy the waters. Now we're going from ink in the water to muddying the waters, two different things. And muddying the waters, of course, is disinformation. But muddying the waters is you surround the truth with enough BS that it makes the truth easy to dismiss. Right. So if you want to protect an extraordinary truth, surround it with nutty BS so that if somebody does happen to see or glimpse the real thing, it's easier to dismiss it publicly because, oh, come on. That's just another piece of the BS that's there.
Exactly. And this leads us into the question bank, like Gene announced.
Let me say one thing. I think when people bring up William Tompkins, bless his soul, he was a nice old guy and everything.
Yeah.
But I think that's the answer to the much of the William Tompkins thing is I think he was exposed to wartime counter-espionage disinfo stuff, and he took it to be real. That's where I'm at on William Tompkins. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I think that might be the case with, you know, other people as well. And anyhow, especially, in political office, like our Canadian former defense minister and so on. Anyway, Rusty Shackelford in the Paracast community forums, where you can post your questions prior to us interviewing our guests, and we will read them on the air for you, has got a question. He says, I've heard Walter say in the past that Richard Doty was held up to him by AFOSI, FOSI superiors and colleagues, as a sort of cautionary tale, in quotation marks. Could you elaborate on what you meant by that, and do you know of any specific actions taken by Doty that got him in hot water?
Okay. When I was a fairly new agent for OSI at Los Angeles Air Force Base, which is a installation that has no flight line, it's a rocket engineering and science and tech S&T base. It's right adjacent, essentially, to LAX, practically, but it's no flight line. And it's got a big counterintelligence mission. I was looking at a concern I had with the possibility of, you know, foreign nationals and how they would try to use civilians to get closer to our bases, to see our technology and such and so forth. And this was just close enough in concept, I guess, to my supervisor's mind that it was the first time I ever heard the name Richard Doty. And they said, okay, but we want you to be careful with this whenever you're dealing with anything that might, you know, go through the public realm because of, you know, we had an issue with an agent, a guy named Richard Doty, who, the way it was put to me, embarrassed OSI and didn't make the Air Force happy because he had been dabbling, you know, with the UFO community, that kind of thing. So that was their concern. I said, make sure, you know, we like where you're going with this because it is focused. But they were just saying, keep this tight focus because, you know, you don't want to screw up like Doty did. And then somebody, another agent who had been around for a while, when I went to my next assignment at WrightPad, Doty came up again on something. And he said, all he said was, yeah, he got in trouble for a little while. You know, the joke is in the military is they'll have you handing out basketballs and towels at the gym, you know, when you get in trouble.
You know,
you're still in, but they got to keep you away. But I never met the man until, and when I say meet, it was about maybe 4 years ago. that I had finally a brief conversation through text with him, just private message, I think Facebook private message. And it was a nice conversation. I don't know the man really. I've never met him. Some things, being friends with Greg Bishop for many years and being familiar with his Project Beta book and things that he told me, being the guy that researched and wrote that, I have said in the past that I think the culprit in what happened to Benowitz was really the NSA, because some of the things people think Doty was doing at behest of the Air Force, they're not understanding how it works and what was really going on. They're certainly not understanding how it would work. And when you look closely at Greg's, and Greg agrees with this, that really when you read his book and you look closely at the details, Doty wasn't so much the villain as the NSA was. It's not fair for me to pass judgment on his character and his soul because of, you know, his reputation. Now, since then, I don't know if he just emerges because he's sincerely interested in this stuff or if he's, you know, involved with some type of, you know, disinfo type of thread. I don't know, but, that's possible. But
we did feature Richard Doty on the Paracast a year or so ago. And he's certainly a personable character.
Yeah, nice guy.
Sounds sincere and all that stuff. But when he talks to you about something, you have no idea whatever whether this guy is being serious, whether he's putting you on, what kind of game he's playing, is he a disinformation agent, what is he? But then, having worked with the AFOSI, the question I would have is, if he's saying something that goes against what they want him to say, wouldn't somebody call him up, or wouldn't three guys in dark suits with suitcases come up to his home and say, Rick, you can't do this, because if you do this, you're going to find yourself wearing cement galoshes or something. I have no idea. We've got more to come, and it could be your comment about that, Rick Doty, and other questions we have from the Question Bank with Walter Bosley, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNlife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So my question here is, can Rick Doty get away with saying all this crazy stuff if he were not doing it with at least a tacit okay from the powers that be?
Well, you've got two different scenarios here. Let's go back to when he was an active duty agent and the stuff he was telling. The stuff he was allowing and leading on Paul Benowitz to believe, okay? Certainly. Absolutely, he would get in trouble during that period if he were just making crazy stuff up or saying stuff, you know, anything that he really shouldn't have been saying to Benowitz. OSI would take him to task over. And my understanding is they took him to task over how that went. Staying within that scenario of when he was on active duty. Here's where the trouble comes in. Initially, they went and looked at Benowitz because Benowitz was reporting seeing things at Manzano Range. Well, he was probably seeing technology that they really didn't want people talking about. So, you know, they send an OSI agent to find out, but the OSI agent has to discuss it within a framework because they don't want him in any way to confirm that it's U.S. technology, but at the same time, they want him to find out, you know, what has Benowitz seeing, that kind of thing. So in the course of all that, as we know, you can read the book, you can go back and hear the interviews. In the course of that is where Benowitz increasingly was having these experiences and seeing things that he was being allowed to just freely interpret as aliens and extraterrestrials, and there's this war going on and such. But at some point, in all fairness, at some point, Doty and Bill Moore were telling Benowitz, you know, hey, Paul, this isn't real. This isn't true. You know, you're wrong about that. But there were still things being done aimed at Benowitz that he was interpreting as this whole alien thing. And those were the things coming from the NSA direction. So what happens is you have this agent responding to this situation, you know, to protect, in the interest of protecting technology. What happened was whatever the degree the NSA was involved in this project, you know, they want to take it further to see, for whatever their reason is for, okay, let's see how this guy reacts to this or what he thinks about that. So they're kind of doing their own thing. All right. And when an agent is working with another agency, they've got to be doing their own agency's thing, plus they're serving the interests of that other agency. Okay. And that can be a thin line to try and walk and not, you know, screw up.
I totally hear you, Walter.
So,
all makes perfect sense. And I've certainly got a lot of respect for Greg Bishop over there at Radio Mysterioso. For sure, some really good material from Greg, no doubt. In relation to this, too, and this kind of ties right in. This is sort of part two of Rusty Shackelford's other question here. Mm-hmm. And he says in interviews, Doty has mentioned a team within Afazi known as the Special Projects Team or the PJ Boys that were often used to intimidate and threaten UFO witnesses. Are you able to confirm that it existed? And if so, were they ever used to investigate UFOs?
If that was his characterization of them, I can't back that up because I've known PJ guys. Now, look, Doty was in before me. He was in longer than me. I was with OSI for 6 years, and then I went to another organization to do counterterrorism. But for the 6 years I was in and the PJ guys I got to know, I have a hard time buying that they would, you know, show up to intimidate on people's doorsteps. It was more if there was any interaction between PJ agents and someone in the public like that. The only thing I could realistically imagine was they were just saying, hey, we're so-and-so special agents, blah, blah, blah. And we hear that you reported, a UFO, you know, or whatever. We'd like to talk to you about that. Or you saw something out, you know, we'd like to, it wouldn't be this, you know, this intimidation thing. I sincerely doubt that, but he was in longer than me and he probably knew a lot more PJ guys than I did. So I can't say that he's not telling the truth. All I can say is my limited 6-year experience with the organization, even though I was cleared for weird and stuff, fairly deep in stuff. I can't back that up with my experience on that. But now here's what's interesting. A minute ago, I told you about the scenario while he was on active duty, how it would work. Now, since he's been out, he has said a lot of this stuff. Now, this thing about the PJ agents intimidating people and some of the other things people have heard him say in interviews, that could be more either muddying the waters or inking the waters type stuff, more like muddying the waters. We have no way of knowing. Only Richard Doty knows if he's still under contract or whatever, you know.
And, well, I was going to ask you, you ever really out after you've been in, you know?
Yeah, yeah. For instance, I'm an officer, and anybody who's commissioned will tell you, they tell you this. They go, look, your commission is for life, and no matter what you're doing, we can yank you back on active duty up until you're 62 years old. And they, you know, when you sign that paper, so, you know, in a way, as an officer, you're never out. But I can tell you, they haven't bothered me, you know, and I'd be getting a paycheck if I were still in, you know, and he would too. He would be getting, believe me, he would be getting paid if he were still, you know, but they have ways of doing that where, you know, it looks like something else. But it's possible that he could still be doing water muddying by coming out here in the community and doing these things. But it might be more likely that he's still just interested in it. He likes the attention. And, you know, I don't know. He could just be having fun with the audience, you know, the people. But, you know, I just, my experience, I don't buy the PJ agents intimidating people. But I have to say I could be wrong.
What about agents actually using other agents in the way that we talked about with Lazar, where the agent being used is fed disinformation to see what they go and do with it? And so he maybe really believes all this stuff, but really it's not the case. He himself is an unwitting, whistleblower, informant for muddying the waters.
Yeah.
What do you call that?
It's interesting that you'd present that possibility. There was something I was involved in that I remember the day I was sitting at my desk when that thought crossed my mind. The thought crossed my mind, hey, wait a minute. Could this thing I'm a part of, thing I'm working on. Could this be, it's a legitimate program, but could this program be being used for something else? And what I'm doing on it day to day, you know, I'm believing I'm fighting the cause, blah, blah, blah. But could I actually be being used in this capacity unwittingly to just, you know, facilitate the ulterior, you know, thing that's going on? And I know I'm sorry I'm being vague, but I have to be. And I remember that day was the beginning of me thinking, okay, I've done this particular thing long enough. It's time to do something else. Because I was like, well, I'm not, if I'm being used as a patsy here, no way, I'm not going to do that. I want to go be part of something where, you know, at least I think, you know, still that it's the real deal. So I, from my experience, particularly my specific experience, that scenario could be totally possible. Totally possible. Mm-hmm. And let me give you an example.
It makes perfect sense when you think about it.
Yeah. When I was vetting an asset, when I was chief of a CE ops, essentially it's double agentry. When I was chief of that branch at RightPath, player manager, because I would run ops as well as just be the officer, you know, running it. If I were vetting a source, I would use, so to speak, I got quotes around that word, I would utilize some of the just the plain CI branch guys over at the detachment to help me get closer to potential assets that I wanted to vet. And these agents, they wouldn't know any details about what I was, you know, the details about what I was doing. They knew that I was in the special branch, you know, and but you know, the things I would have them do to get me close to an asset were bogus. They were bogus projects, and those agents may or may not, depending upon if I need to tell them or not, may or may not that know that it is bogus. They might think that, hey, I really need this data, do this thing, and they might think, oh, okay, it's a real thing, when actually it's just a BS tool that I've created to get close to individuals who I want to vet to be double agents. See, so knowing
okay,
that.
Okay, so we've got more to talk about with Walter Bosley. As
sorry.
You see, it never ends. Gene Walter Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.